Sustainable fashion is so hot right now, so chic, with many brands from Adidas to Zara touting the ways they're trying to be more environmentally friendly. So whether it's clothing made from plastic bottles and ocean plastic, upcycling new garments from offcuts, shredding down fabrics into new ones, or an old clothes collection box in the local outlet of your favorite high street fashion chain, there are so many options for conscious shoppers appearing on the market. But here is the big but. For those of us proudly showing off our activewear made from recycled bottles, I know that's me, that could be you. Just pause, because recycled doesn't necessarily mean sustainable. I know, it's very difficult to do the right thing these days. Making fashion sustainable is a massive industry issue for the industry, as different companies try different methods that can make it hard for consumers to work out the correct ethical choice of what to put in the cart. And Dr. Harriet Richards is a senior lecturer in fashion and textiles at RMIT and co-founder of the Critical Fashion Studies Research Collective at University of Melbourne. And Dr. Lisa Lake is development manager at the Center of Excellence in Sustainable Fashion and Textiles at UTS and author of Sustainability with Style. Whoa, got through that. Long titles. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Beverly.
Harriet, Lisa, let's talk about fashion, but I want to hit you with a very fun fact from a 2019 Australian parliamentary inquiry into waste management and recycling. I know, we like to be sexy here in Life Matters. This is the stat. Each year, the average Australian purchases 27 kilograms of clothing and disposes of 23 kilograms to landfill. Australians buy 60% more items of clothing than they did 15 years ago and keep them for half as long. I would love to know what each of you think of this information. Harriet, will you start us off, please?
Yeah, sure. Good morning. So 2019, there are some work happening to update those statistics, but still they're quite outrageous to hear. And I know a few years ago when the War on Waste show came out, there was, you know, big piles of clothes to kind of make it visible for us how many clothes we were purchasing. And I think it's absolutely true. There's been various different research done around the world to show how much more clothing we're consuming today than we used to. So whether or not the statistics are up to date is another question, but it's certainly true that we're consuming far more garments than we used to.
It's an interesting benchmark.
That's kind of, absolutely, exactly.
Lisa, what do you think about those numbers?
Yeah, thanks, Beverly. I think the thing that really hits me every time I hear those figures is how much of that is headed to landfill. And it really highlights the point that we don't have a really clear way of recycling used clothing and garments. And so however many kilograms it is each of us are buying and throwing away each year, the fact is that most of our textile waste is ending up in landfill, where it is an enormous problem.
So let's talk about the recycled material trend. I talked about the, you know, activewear or backpacks we might be aware of made from recycled plastic. And that makes us feel good thinking that we are taking those plastic bottles and making them into something useful. Harriet, what's really happening there?
Okay, what's really happening? I mean, you alluded to some of what's really happening. So, I mean, it sounds fantastic on the surface of it. We're taking those bottles, let's start with bottles, for instance, the PET bottles, which is the most commonly produced form of plastic, and we're taking them out of the use cycle or preventing them from going to landfill and recycling them into something else. So we're either breaking them down mechanically to create some new polyester polymer, a block that can then be made into a fiber, or we're doing it chemically. So there's two different processes that happen. And then we're making it into a new polyester fiber. It is still plastic, so it's still made from crude oil. And some of the issues are that that PET bottle, when it's in a plastic bottle form, it can be recycled again into another plastic bottle. But when it's recycled into a polyester fiber, it's much more challenging to recycle it into another polyester fiber. So in some ways, it's shortening the lifespan of that initial raw material by making it into something that's far more difficult to recycle than it was in the plastic bottle form. Also, when you're recycling those fibres, sometimes they're not quite as strong, so then they need to still be combined with virgin materials, which then when you've got a combined fabric, again, that increases the challenge of recycling it. So there's all sorts of kind of things going on that aren't necessarily good, in that perhaps it's speeding up the pathway
right
into that landfill.
So even though I'm taking something out of the waste stream, and I feel like that's great, maybe not. So here's a scenario. Let's say there's a pair of activewear pants, right? Mm-hmm. They're entirely, two pairs, entirely identical, except that one is made from recycled plastic PET bottles and one is made from new fibers. What do you choose?
Yes, well, so it's good in a way that they're made from recycled materials, in that it is less energy taxing to make a recycled material. The energy is less. But still, it is a plastic garment, essentially, that when you put it in the wash, for instance, it's still going to leach microplastics into your waterways. So there's other issues to do with it. So I don't know if it's such a clear binary between which one is the better choice, because they're both not perfect.
Which one would you choose, Harriet?
Oh my gosh, you're really putting me on the spot, Beverly. Well, I have to think about the Patagonia leggings that I have in my wardrobe, and I do think that there's a percentage of recycled plastics in them. They're not 100%, though. I think they're just a percentage, which Patagonia, I think they're aiming for 80% recycled materials in their garments at the moment.
Okay, thank you for submitting yourself to my inquiry. I appreciate it. Now, Lisa, this what we've just been talking about with Harriet points to the difficulty that shoppers have, because there's labels on everything, and you see a garment that might be like, it's organic, it's recycled, but we really have to scrutinize them a lot more, don't we?
We do. I will add that I would always buy the recycled.
Thank you. Okay.
Appreciate
that.
I will just put that out there.
Yes.
Yeah, because I would go for recycled over virgin polyester any day of the week. However, it is very confusing for consumers to know what in the world is the best thing to buy. There's a few things to look for that can be held up as reasonably high standards in terms of global organic textiles. It's called a GOTS certification. The fair trade label is also quite thorough. But when we start talking about things such as recycled polyester, it is much murkier. And as boring as it may sound, often what I come back to when I'm asked to give advice to people for shopping is truly buy something that you like, that you love, ideally, that fits you properly and is the best quality that you can afford, because the longer you can keep your garment, the more sustainable you are as a consumer. And that's really kind of what we should be aiming for, is rather than this kind of churn and burn that's happened with the rise of fast fashion, which has infiltrated pretty much every nation, every brand has had to adjust to this speed that we're getting used to seeing new styles come out. If the best thing we can do to challenge that is to actually slow down, buy things that you really love, and keep them out of landfill or the charity bin.
Lisa, that sounds great, and buying what you really love is a great way to curate your own personal wardrobe, for sure. But I'm also thinking about families who are on a budget, and they can't necessarily put their entire budget for clothing into one long-lasting item that a child may outgrow. And fast fashion, I'm just thinking about all of the discount department stores that families rely on to keep clothes at an affordable price. If you don't have that option of just very selectively picking and investing in a few statement pieces, for example, what do you do?
Hitting us with the hard questions, Beverly. I have two small children, so I definitely will admit that my behavior has had to radically adjust now that I see how quickly kids grow through their clothes, or wear them out, or stain them in a way that you can't get them out. So I completely appreciate the concern that you can't always buy the highest quality garment. The great news in Australia is that the teams at Kmart, Target in particular, have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes to lessen the impact of the textiles that they're using for the products that are sold in their store. So they don't talk about it as much as I think they should, but they're doing a lot of work behind the scenes to actually make things better and yet still at that price point that is more achievable for a wide majority of Australians. And again, it's just when you can, you know, if you're looking for that kind of special outfit for your child, see if you can get a good quality secondhand thing that, you know, if they're just going to wear it one day for pictures or for a special event, see if you can find a good quality secondhand garment. But otherwise, it is very challenging for families.
A lot of people texting in on 0418226576 saying that op shops and secondhand shopping is the way to go. There is also a question about how to recycle clothes. So a texter has written in saying buying secondhand clothes works well until clothes look too shabby. So what to do when you want to recycle those now useless clothes that have actually come to the end of a useful life? Harriet, Lisa, where can we go? You know those bins you see sometimes in supermarket parking lots or at a train station, and it says, you know, donate your clothes here, put those in, and they're often got bags everywhere. Is that the place where you go to recycle your clothing, Lisa?
That is where you should go to take clothing that still has some life left in it. When you're thinking about those bins go to charities and charitable recyclers. So you want those garments to still have a bit of life in them. Mm-hmm. What to do with your garments that you've really worn through and you wouldn't feel good giving it to a friend, for example. Mm-hmm. There's a few options. There's a company called Apparel, spelled UPPAREL, that collects pretty much every type of used textile. And they will take those textiles and sort them into different categories to determine how best to recycle them. A lot of it will end up becoming mulched and turned into shoddy or kind of insulation materials, things like that. Sometimes they can be recycled back into their kind of component fibers and fabrics if it's a particular type of fabric. So there are options. That's a really good option for everyone. It's actually a Australian wide. It's a paid service though, so I think it's like $25 a box, and you fill it up with as much stuff as you can. You can collect it. If you live close to an H&M store. I know it sounds contentious. I'm talking about, you know, going into a fast fashion shop, but they literally will take any used textile and again recycle it for you. So they're using it as a marketing plan, of course, to get you back into the store. But if you're like me, you go in with your bag of used stuff, drop it in their bin, and just walk back out.
You feel like you're at least doing something to make it better.
I do. I feel quite revolutionary, you know.
Harriet, yeah. Talking about fashion companies, fast fashion, I also kind of wonder about the entire structure. This is another big question of the fashion industry itself. You know, it's this seasonal churn, new, continuously. First of all, how much does that mentality feed into our idea of how we should be shopping and choosing our clothing? And secondly, I guess, if you can want to continue, is in terms of accountability, you know, these big, you know, fashion chains, which are responsible for making all these clothes, are now saying, hey, we're trying to do something better. Is there a way to actually regulate and find out if, yes, it's more than just a marketing promise?
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of the first question, this constant churn that Lisa was talking about as well, it has completely infiltrated, as she says, the entire fashion system, the globe. And I think we've just seen in recent years, actually, with the kind of changing social media landscape, actually, with the rise of TikTok and things, that has increased exponentially. It's wild. I mean, there's no longer sort of seasonal trends. It's now micro trends. Like, it's so incredibly fast. It's crazy. And the fashion companies, I mean, now we don't just have fast fashion, we have hyper-fast fashion or ultra-fast fashion that's getting new garments out so quickly. It's quite mind-boggling. And I think that has had, of course, implications across the supply chain in terms of creating new materials, doing the design work, getting those garments out. A company like the American online retailer Shein, they're coming up against new issues in the US at the moment, with the US changing their tax laws, because at the moment Shein is able to export garments from China directly to consumers in the US. Any order under $800 can be imported into the US without having to pay tax. So there's kind of issues with that, that countries like the US are trying to cut down on the kind of ease with which a company like that is able to ship huge amounts of garments into the US. So there are different things like that. Then there's, of course, legislation. So in Australia here, some of my research has really been looking at the Modern Slavery Act, which came in 2018. Which is not necessarily looking to slow down the fashion industry per se, but it's really looking at larger global issues around labour rights in the fashion industry and, of course, in other industries as well. The Modern Slavery Act is not just about fashion. In the EU, for instance, there's new legislation being brought in to kind of stem the growth of fast fashion and to introduce new responsibilities on producers so that there's a sense of sort of the producer actually has more responsibility for the garment end of life. So this sort of polluter pays principle is being applied there. So if you're producing the garment, then perhaps you have the responsibility for it across its entire life cycle, not just from when you make it and get it into the stores and into the bag of the consumer.
What an interesting idea. I just want to get to a few texts. Eloma says, I love fashion, but control my consumption with a document that shows what I already own with pictures. 9 times out of 10, just glancing at it is enough to make me rethink purchasing something new while reminding me of some item I love but haven't worn in a while. What a great way to organize and shop your closet. And Tara says, I make pillows out of worn pant legs. I might match patchwork pillows with small pieces of material. And another texter says, recycling of natural fibers is easy, compost them. And then there's a question and observation. I wonder if Lisa or Harry, you have a view on this. Why are clothes wearing out so quickly? As a child, I used to get hand-me-downs from my cousin that then went to my sister, then to two neighbors. That was 5 lives for each garment. And so Wendy, who's texted in, says apparently thinks that the newer garments are not lasting as long. Is there any a truth to this anecdote, Lisa?
Unfortunately, yes, there is truth to that anecdote. And it relates again directly to the fast fashion behemoth, I suppose. In a lot of those companies, clothes literally are designed for 10 wears. So that means you're making fabrics that are not as strong, not as thick, not as durable as the fabrics of our youth. And this is having a huge impact on supply chains around the world because this global companies are buying fabrics from the similar suppliers all over the world. So the way that these vast volumes of fabrics are being created for the fast fashion businesses are now having this flow-on effect to the other to other businesses as well, because the whole supply has shifted toward the lower quality. So it's not, she's not confused. It is definitely something that's happening.
10 wears. What qualifies as a wear?
That's a really good question. I don't know that I've got a specific on what qualifies as a wear, but I'd say wearing it one day.
Like wearing one day.
Wearing a blouse one day. That's one wear. Yeah.
That's astounding. So
Yeah. I'm sure there's some calculation about how often it's washed as well, but they're not designed to last.
Don't wash those 10 wear clothes.
No. Maybe you can get 20 out of it if you wash it every other time.
Just dab it gently with a cotton ball. We're rapidly coming to the end of this amazing conversation. I wish we could spend more time, but I wonder if we could end with both of you. It's such a big and, as you've kind of teased out, quite confusing topic. If you could share maybe your top 2 tips on how to conduct yourself in a sustainable fashion when you're out shopping, what would those top 2 tips be? And they can overlap. That's okay. Harriet, do you want to kick off?
Yeah, sure. I just love hearing about the creative solutions that your listeners have that's so fabulous. My mum has all of her shoes in the boxes with a photograph of the shoe on the front of the box. It's quite remarkable, and it makes me think of your listener who has the spreadsheet with all the images. It's amazing. In terms of how to conduct yourself sustainably, something that I often say, again, as Lisa was saying, when I'm asked to give advice on sustainable shopping and things, is to think about whether the item is a need or a want. And I think that gets to some of what Lisa was saying about kind of whether you really love the garment, but some things are just a need. You know, you need new undies, you need new socks. Sometimes you don't necessarily love them. You don't think, I'm going to have this forever. And then you can kind of categorize what you're buying the garment for, what its kind of criteria is. And sometimes you do just want it. And yeah. The fashion industry is fantastic at producing desire. And sometimes that's okay. You do just want it.
Okay. And Lisa, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Harriet, but Lisa, we just two quick tips and we're going to go.
Sure. Quick tip. I mean, I really am going back to my number one. Make sure you really like the item. Number two, get things tailored. Once you buy them, if they don't fit perfectly, take them to the tailor immediately so that they do fit you perfectly and you'll hang on to them a bit longer.
Thank you so much. It's been great to chat with you, Harriet Richards and Lisa Lake, Life Matters listeners, clearly devotees of the op shops.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.